the Trade Raiders podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan. We're brothers who read comics, spooky yes. comics, for the last time this year.
Yes. And, you know, this is the show where you come to where we read the most high society, high art comic books. And this week is no different.
Absolutely.
We read the best books that are out there.
Only the highest regarded and highly praised books of all time.
Yeah, top fiction ever created.
Yes. And peak of human creativity.
Nothing. We somehow keep
finding more.
Finding better comics every single week that outlasts.
Mostly me, because I think about this stuff a lot.
Yeah, you do. You do. I haven't had to think about what we should read for like months. So, but yeah. We also, on top of reading the highest society of comic books, we give you the news as part of one of the things in our time codes. But other time codes you can find other than the news is the book that we're reading, The Back Matter, and The Poll List. So let's get started with the news, Daniel.
Alrighty. Nathan, not a lot of news, but some big news.
Some big nuggets in there. You Definitely. Know, sometimes bigger nuggets are better than a lot of nuggets.
I agree. Nathan, Harrison Ford will be joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Thunderbolt Ross.
Is that confirmed or is it still like highly talked about?
Is that confirmed?
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's so surprising to me with how much he hates stuff.
But hates also, stuff that's cool?
He's like older than
the Thunderbolt Ross actor, yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So do you think he'll rulk?
I would love it if he rulked. Mustache rulk.
I hope that was part of the terms in his contract or something, that like I need to rulk and then I need to destroy something Star Wars related.
I need to be rulked most of the time.
That's probably what, yeah, he probably will be actually, because he doesn't want to act.
Like, I'll stand around, be the sergeant or whatever, and then we'll move on.
I think the terms is that when he's rulked, he destroys something Star Wars related, and mm-hmm. he's in a plane most of the time.
Yeah.
Flying a plane.
So
that's interesting.
He'll be making his debut in the new Captain America movie, and then he will be in the Thunderbolts thing. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I never would have thought in a million years that like
absolutely not.
That would happen. I would never guess that.
I think he'd be in Marvel, you know?
Exactly. So that's interesting. Speaking of Marvel stuff, though, and Disney owning everything, Disney turns
100 years old next year or this year, something like that.
It does.
And so they're releasing
Disney Marvel variants in which Disney characters like Mickey Mouse and Goofy and stuff are going to be like part of iconic
covers.
Oh, that's cool.
So like they replace like the Fantastic Four in their first appearance issue. There's like this Incredible Hulk one where Goofy goes to Big Goofy.
I think these are really sick, actually.
Those are really fun.
So I'm excited for those.
I remember telling Dad, like, hey, Disney World just turned like 50 this year. You're older than Disney World.
That's so mean.
Because he's turning like 51 in like a week or That's something. Crazy. So I thought that was funny. Because I was like, 100 seems like young for Disney, but Disneyland's only like 75, I think.
Yeah.
And so then...
Wait, so Disney World came after Disneyland?
Yeah.
That makes sense, mm-hmm, actually.
Mm-hmm. Nathan, I think... No. This is a rumor.
Okay.
That Sacha Baron Cohen will be cast as Mephisto in the upcoming Ironheart series.
Finally.
Or movie.
He's actually really good casting, I feel like, for that character.
Yeah, no, he's a really good actor, and I don't know who would be better other than, like Willem Dafoe or something, but...
That would be weird.
As Mephisto? No, Willem Dafoe's in there already, so...
Yeah, he's kind of a part of the MCU already. Not to say that he can't be somebody else, but...
Right.
I like that idea.
Me too.
I kind of just like, after all the Mephisto theories, I'm like, I'd be cool if I never seen Mephisto. But,
yeah.
But that brings me back in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back
into it.
Because he's like a really good actor.
Yeah, he is.
So definitely capable of doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a fan of like
the fan art of the Mephisto concepts with him.
I've not seen any, but that's funny.
They're like fine, you know.
Yeah. That's interesting. Other interesting thing. The comic book creators James Tynion IV, Elsa Charretier. Charretier. Do you know, are you familiar with her?
No.
Okay. She's the one that does Love Everlasting.
Tom King.
Oh.
And some other guy, what's his name? Pierrick Collinet, are writing a
short film.
Ooh. Very cool.
Service, and they are funding it through Kickstarter. So I thought that was interesting.
Huh.
Trying their hand at movie making, and it's going to be a horror short.
Very cool.
Yeah. I feel like of people that write horror, James Tynion does that a lot.
Especially recently. So mm-hmm. It's probably pretty good for a short film.
A lot of people like him, and he keeps doing it.
Exactly.
Nathan, this is kind of news. I just saw it in like the DC like solicitations.
Sure.
Our boy Poinsack Pichote is writing a Sandman book.
Whoa, that'd be cool.
In Sandman Universe. It's called Dead Boy Detectives. So it's
like, I love that.
It's in the Sandman universe, but that's like the name of the story.
But he's writing Dead Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an existing thing in Sandman or probably something new?
Maybe something new.
I'd assume something new.
Coming out December 27th.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I like seeing stuff from him.
Yeah. I didn't recognize the artist, but I recognize him.
Yeah.
And they put like, writer the good Asian. He's writing this thing now. You're welcome.
Yeah. No, that's great. I was wondering if he was going to
delve into some Big Two stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, I think it just did that silver coin issue, which I haven't read yet, but I have it. So I'm eager to read some more stuff from him.
Yeah.
Walter Hamada is officially no longer president of DC Films.
I didn't know he was the president, but just that news means like, oh, something's changing here.
Changing. Well, he has been
it's gonna be the Rock
the
now.
Face of a lot of controversy, especially with all the cyborg stuff with that actor. What's his name?
Joss Whedon? Oh.
No.
Ray Fisher?
Ray Fisher, yeah. He was like the front of a lot of that, so.
Like in a good way?
No.
Oh.
Like the things, he was part of the reason why Ray Fisher was very pissed.
So a little bit of a delayed reaction?
Yeah, probably.
Hmm.
But I think that's everything I had.
Same.
Cool. Now let's get to the peak high
society fiction that we read this week, Daniel, called Kiss Zombies by Ethan Sachs.
Art by Rodney Buscemi.
Colors by Dejo Lima and letters by Troy Pateri. And Daniel, this book is exactly
what I thought it would be.
And it, this is what I wanted it to be so bad. Even a little bit better.
So Kiss Zombies, Kiss meaning the 80s rock band?
70s.
Oh my God. Yeah, the 70s rock band.
The people in makeup and they stick their tongues out and stuff.
Yeah.
But with zombies too.
Except they're in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, they're in a zombie
And if you have not heard of the story and don't know what it is, just think about what a Kiss Zombies book would be, and that's exactly what this was.
I think it was a little bit more complex than I thought it was going to be. I honestly thought, based off the cover, that they were zombies, like in the book.
They did mislead you a little bit.
Because, even like the cover of the trade, they're like all zombies.
You probably don't recognize this imagery, but that is an homage to their album Destroyer. But just them as zombies.
That doesn't make sense. I had to look up a couple songs because I would read it and I'm like, I know those lyrics, but I can't remember how it goes
specifically. And then, So
what I'm a little ashamed of is like, I think the song that I like from them the most is like Detroit Rock City, which was played by Paul Blart in like that movie. He's like in the game.
Rock City. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when like the burglars or whatever are just running a muff and like he's like in the gaming like the arcade store or whatever and he's just playing guitar here or rock or rock band
okay this song did
ring a bell or like when I was reading I was like I know this song but not because I just listened to Kiss
no
and then I was like it's from Paul
Blart but I couldn't remember the scene specifically
so no I definitely went straight back to that. And then if I hear it in like other movies, I'm like, oh, that's a Paul Blart song. that's on the Paul Blart soundtrack.
Do you think that Kiss would have ever thought that the movie Paul Blart Mall Cop
would have
given their song popularity for at least one person
to a new generation?
Maybe, because Kiss kind of has like one of those sounds that like it doesn't necessarily like stick out to me, I guess. Yeah. Just kind of sounds like a rock band, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't sound like what they look like, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And so it's like...
Their music is good rock band music.
But their marketing and the way that they present themselves definitely like takes them up to that level.
Yeah, definitely. Nathan, pop quiz. Do you remember their names? Like their stage names?
Demon.
Yep.
Starman.
Nope.
No.
Close. Starchild. Yep.
Catman.
Yep.
Oh my god, there's another man.
Yeah, sure is.
Fuck, what is it?
They're all men, Nathan.
Starman. There's one more man. Fuck.
Starman, Catman, Demon. Dreamman?
It's kind of close, but no.
Dreamchild.
No more children.
Okay, one children. Okay. Starchild, Demon, Catman. What's the other one?
Spaceman.
Spaceman. Fuck.
Why? That's not, his makeup doesn't designate that he's in space.
You have to look at his like his outfit, you know? Like, if you look at...
Oh, I see that.
He's, like, the third one, and there's, like, stars.
Oh, okay.
And there are, like, the in the back matter, there's, like, picture covers. Like, that are actually just, like, pictures of them.
Yeah, which is cool.
And he wears, like, very futuristic type stuff.
Gotcha.
It's weird that their themes are so different, but they fit so well together.
How do you think they came up with them? I'm sure that there's an interview somewhere
out there, but...
I called the cat, man. You guys cannot be a cat. I am a cat.
That's like, I bet Demon was the last one too. Just to be like Catman, Starman, Dreamchild. What is it again?
Spaceman.
Spaceman, Catman, Dream, Starman.
No.
Starchild?
Starman is a Starchild.
Starchild. And then the Starman last guy was like, okay,
DC hero.
I get the themes going here, right? I'm going to go with Demon.
Yeah. I wonder like... If they were just sitting in a room and like designed the makeup together, and I'm like, and their demon's like, yours looks a little bit too much like mine, so can you like stop that right now?
Yeah, can you make like, and then one guy was
just like, I'm just gonna do a star like on my eye.
On my eye, yeah.
And that'd be cool, I think.
Oh, dude, you remember fucking Role Models? Where like the dude was like a huge Kiss fan.
Yeah.
And he had like all the shit. He probably has this comic.
I only know about Kiss from not listening to Kiss.
From seeing Kiss.
From Guitar Hero to Rock Band to Paul Blart and to Role Models.
Yeah.
Those are the only
and then they
reasons
go,
I know
they
Kiss.
They go to like a fucking, was it LARPing? What's it called? What's the place you go to?
I don't know. Just like the forest. Is there a place?
Yeah. Isn't it called like. They go to a LARP or something.
Yeah, something like that.
They go LARP.
A LARP fest.
Yeah, and they dress up as like Kiss.
Yeah.
And I just remember Paul Rudd.
Was he Starman?
I think he was Starchild.
Starchild?
And so...
Starman. Not, I gotta stop saying Starman. Do you think he couldn't do Starman because Starman was already a thing in DC Comics?
Yeah, it's probably already copyrighted.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, shit, what am I supposed to do now?
They're like, this guy's a comic book character? I need to be a comic book character.
Star Kid.
I wonder how this happened too.
Kiss?
Kiss obviously came to.
Do you think their very first show at some basement venue they had the makeup on? Or did they like get a little bit popular and then.
They probably got popular stuff? And then did the makeup.
Okay, yeah.
But, they,
I wonder how like this comic book happened though.
Well, Kiss is like one of those bands. It's kind of like maybe the Beatles almost, but probably more so. Where they just have stuff. Like the widest like range of memorabilia out of like any
that's
other
fair.
Band,
yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Like the Kiss like pinball machines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You probably
okay.
get Kiss like anything.
And so they're like, we haven't done comic books yet.
I think they have comics already. Like this Before? Is like not their first comic.
Oh, okay.
Like Kiss Zombies is like their horror one, you know?
Oh. So we should read all the Kiss books.
That'd be really fucking funny.
That would be.
So there's Kiss Phantom Obsession.
That sounds great. Why didn't we do that one?
Dude, I don't know.
Is that a scary one?
Zombies sounded cooler.
Yeah, that did sound cooler.
There's a whole Wikipedia page for Kiss comics, Nathan.
Oh my God. Perfect.
All right. Collections. So, Kiss Compendium.
Okay. Nice.
I think they have a Marvel Comics Super Special.
Kiss 4K.
Cool. Publishers. Yeah, Marvel did. I guess they were in...
Kiss the Demon. Kiss/Vampirella.
Ooh, see? They were apparently...
Kiss Compendium 4K.
Kiss was in number 12 of Howard the Duck in 1977?
Can we start a branch off podcast that's just Kiss Comics and the comics is a K?
We just like go, oh, there's a whole title list. There are a ton of shit. Kiss Classics, Kiss Nation.
They have 4 volumes at Dark Horse Comics.
Rock and Roll Comics. Oh, Hard Rock Comics. Kiss Prehistory, so we can learn a little bit about Kiss.
Kiss Psycho Circus Comic Magazine.
Oh, that's 5 issues. Image. That's
published
cool.
By McFarlane Media.
Ooh, see?
Psycho Circus.
Destroyer. Trade paperback.
This is insane.
Isn't this like nuts?
Why are there so many?
Because like the super fans, you know?
I guess so.
Kiss 4K.
I want to collect all Kiss comic books. Do you think it's that's unreasonable?
It's probably really hard.
It probably is, yeah.
But it'd be really fucking fun. Ooh, Darren. Hold on. Archie meets Kiss.
No way.
Yeah.
He met them? Oh, lucky.
Oh, dude, what? Gene Simmons? That's crazy.
They probably rock and rolled all night. That's insane.
They were in a Mars Attacks book called Flaming Youths.
Okay,
Kiss
so...
Kiss Solo, Kiss Kids. So, okay, I don't know about that one.
So what is that, like the next probably year of this show, reading all Kiss comics?
I think... Well, the thing is like, I don't know how many like trades there are, you know?
There's a few.
But...
I saw just on the Wikipedia page, but that is so... I definitely did not know that. I learned something. So when did this one come out? This is like 2000-something, right?
Like 16, I think. See, Kiss Zombies doesn't even come up on this Wikipedia page.
2021.
Really?
At the second page, or the second or third page where it has like all the tiny text.
Oh, yeah.
2021, Kiss Comics.
We might be the first podcast to review Kiss Zombies.
Yeah, I think so. Wow. What an honor.
We should...
I'll just say it, first and foremost.
We can start the Patreon... And it'll just be all the Kiss comics, the bonus episodes.
We're just going insane, reading about this band that we barely know anything about, like, other than from just other media.
We have only heard like 3 songs, we're just so infatuated by the fact that they're in comics so much.
Well, we'll be the biggest fans of Kiss that only consumes their content that's not their music.
What if we're like, we saw them in real life, you're like... Oh my God, I'm such a big fan of your comics.
You're the guy from Paul Blart.
You're the guy from Kiss Zombies. Kiss Zombies? You're the fictional band.
I wonder if they've signed these comics very often. Are they still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're old, but they're alive.
That's amazing. I like them way more now.
I think I had a pretty neutral relationship with them.
Is there any other music group?
The Beatles.
That has had this many comics?
Ooh, I think they have more coming out, like even now.
Really?
Know?
Beatles?
Yeah.
Wow.
They had an Image trade that came out like last year that I bought, I haven't read. But they have a ton of shit.
More than Kiss.
Maybe the same amount as Kiss.
That's crazy.
Let's see here. Yeah, I think because Kiss was such like a visual band...
That makes sense.
That's what it makes it
like. People probably have fun drawing them and stuff too. Like,
yeah, the artwork was sick in this. Like, it seeing was like way Demon, better. Like, fucking the, like fight people.
His big shoes with spikes.
Yeah,
the big cleats.
Yeah, you can't have your first show and you have those cleats already. Like,
no,
it's probably so expensive.
Like, where did he get those? Yeah, exactly.
He probably invented those cleats.
Yeah, probably.
Jesus Christ,
very spooky.
There's covers in between the issues by Arthur Saddam.
They're amazing.
And they're so sick.
Yeah.
So this book did a lot of things right, for sure.
And thank you for not finding me. I'm wanting to read this, because just as soon as I found it, I was like, I can't wait.
As soon as you said it, I was like, this is a great idea. Even though, like, last week, I was like, we could have read, like, Department of Truth.
Is that horror, really?
It's supposed to be.
Isn't that, like, a fucking... conspiracy theory book?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be scary, but at my new comic shop, they have, like,
a circular table of, like, horror comic stuff.
Oh, cool.
So there's, like, Outcasts on there, and I'm like, damn, we should have done that one, too.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, there's always next year, always and the year after, Nathan.
Yep, we're going to keep doing this until we read all the Kiss comic books. Stop this podcast, we read all Kiss comic books.
I feel like we'd read all the Kiss comics if we read, like, a trade in, like, a couple months, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Surely there's not that much.
No, I don't think so.
But if we did like every Kiss appearance, that'd be hard.
Yeah, because a lot of them probably aren't even available digitally.
Oh, fuck.
So yeah, we'd have to go hunt them down.
We'd have to We have to buy them physically and look in bins, you know?
Yeah.
Or
we'd have to go on a hunt.
Or My Comic Shop, they probably have a lot of those.
They probably have a few of them, but you might have to bid for them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Those are hot ticket items. Alrighty.
It's in the future and there's zombies. And
apparently all music, especially a particular 80s rock band, is banned from the society or the civilization because zombies are attracted to loud noises. And there's this like kid
who has
the demon makeup.
I believe so.
He's the most popular one, right? Because he does the tongue thing.
Yeah, because it's Gene Simmons.
Does he have a long tongue?
I heard naturally? A rumor that it was like an extension kind of surgery kind of thing.
Really?
But I'm not sure if it's like still there.
So he's like a dog?
Maybe. Or maybe if it was just like a makeup thing that he only used for shows.
Okay.
You know?
Interesting. But yeah, there's like a kid who gets like executed basically because he's wearing the Kiss demon makeup, and he's like, it's really funny, and I can't tell if it's like satire or if it's supposed to be serious, but there's this like in this scene where this kid's
getting sentenced to death because he was listening to rock music. He's like, just listen, you'll understand. It's so beautiful.
And then he starts to sing Rock and Roll All Night.
Yeah.
And then he gets absolutely mauled. Where he's like, just listen, it's beautiful.
Because this is
and
like,
he starts singing like, I want to rock and roll all night. And that's supposed to be like the beautiful thing.
And it's beautiful. I think
like seeing this in like a movie, surely it wouldn't be very serious. Why should you listen? Like it's so funny.
So it's 40 years in the future, you know, from now. So the apocalypse has been going on.
They have
communities and stuff. And so music's just banned altogether because of the coming. So
he's saying like music
so
is beautiful.
So he found music.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And I these people don't like, really know what it is.
That makes way more sense, actually.
So as soon as he found it, he's like, well.
But in the context of the reader,
we don't really know that like music isn't much of a thing. And so when I was first reading this, I'm like, he really likes Kiss,
I guess.
He even like found something uses makeup.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
So
The story focuses on Layla and her two friends, Crusher and Hank, and they have like this contraband radio thing
that's like sending coordinates over the radio, and the coordinates lead to New York City. So they sneak out of this community that they're in, and they go there, and they go on like a road trip, and they find themselves at Madison Square Garden. And it's kind of crazy because in a matter of like a couple pages, they get a flat in their car, they fix it, they find a boat, they get off the boat, and then they find three bikes to get them the rest of the way to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they're like the bird bikes or whatever that you like rent.
Yeah, like they just like, they've traveled in so many different forms in like a couple pages, and I'm like, what just happened?
Love a road trip montage, Nathan.
Yeah, it basically is.
And they're fighting zombies along the way.
And the zombies
look phenomenal, by the way.
They are really cool.
Has no reason to be this good.
Yeah, there's no lacking in any at any point.
Yeah, I think he's a really great zombie artist, and the colors on them are pretty spot on. So this book, if anything, is very fun to look at.
I would love to talk to Ethan and just be like, how did this come to be?
did you
have an idea, or did Dynamite come to you?
Did you know that you'd make a book better than Watchmen?
How's it feel to be better than Alan Moore?
Please tell me. Have you seen the rounds on like Alan Moore shitting on the Watchmen TV show this week?
The what?
Like Alan Moore, I think he's trying to promote a new like novel he wrote or something, but he's just been like shitting on the Watchmen TV show.
I feel like he'd love that shit.
I feel like he would too, but really didn't good. Like it. He's like, it's a disgrace or whatever. Read my new book. Anyway.
He's like the old directors that don't like the Marvel movies.
Yeah, true. He's like a Scorsese now.
Yeah. Or a Coppola or something.
Oh, is that who was Coppola that did it?
I think
they both did.
Everyone fucking did it.
Every old person.
Even
Spielberg?
What's that dude? John
Stamos.
No, you know that movie? It's like Becoming John something.
Oh, John Malkovich?
Yeah, John Malkovich talks shit. And he also had a movie coming out. But he was also in a comic book movie.
Yeah, Red.
Yeah, so I'm like,
we should read Red.
We definitely should.
Yeah.
We should have a month where we read comics about that have movies that you wouldn't know. Yeah. Like
that's a great idea,
like
actually.
Atomic Blonde, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking
or like Snowpiercer.
That's a comic?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a show.
I think it's a Garth Ennis comic. I might be wrong about that.
People might not know that, like, Scott Pilgrim is, like, a comic, you know? Things that aren't, like, superheroes, you know?
All in November.
We're busy. Maybe January.
January, okay. When there's a lull, we'll just do a month of...
Comics to comic book movies that nobody knew were comics.
Yes, yes, yes.
Love that.
We'll think of a catcher name.
Yeah. No, I think that one will wrap the tone
pretty well. So, so Layla and her friends, they go inside the arena. There's zombies in there, too. They're everywhere.
There's a banner on Madison Square Garden.
And then it says, Kiss is coming.
Yeah, the reunion tour.
Reunion tour.
I guess they're the last band to play there or something.
Probably. And inside the arena, they find cryogenic tubes. And Kiss is inside. And then they get taken out of their sleep and they're like, hey, we're Kiss, what's up? And that's the end of the first issue.
Yeah.
And so they get cryogenically frozen, full costume,
absolutely
full makeup, and nothing's wrong. And also they come out full swinging.
They're ready
Demon
to go.
Punches one a zombie in the face.
Can you imagine how easy The Walking Dead would be, like, in that universe, if you just punch them?
Yeah,
and kill them that way.
Yeah. That's why I love these zombies, because they seem like they can sneak up on you. If you could compare these zombies to a zombie universe, what do you think it would be?
What, like, rank wise?
Like, if you can compare, like, the zombies in this book to a live action zombie, I feel like it'd be like Shaun of the Dead.
Maybe like Zombieland.
I feel like they're pretty fat. Probably Zombieland, though. Yeah.
Let me think. Yeah, those are, like, pretty normal.
I think, know? Shaun of the Dead, because they could, like, fuck around with zombies in Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead were, like, even slower than The Walking Dead, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, some of them, they could run, couldn't they? No, I don't think they could, actually.
I think they just
wobbled around most of the time. Yeah,
they're just like...
Yeah, probably Zombieland then.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so they, like, from Demon's perspective, like, he wakes up from cryogenic sleep that he didn't know he was in, sees a zombie and punches him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, we're Kiss, what's up?
And this is like prime Kiss, you know? They don't look their age.
So in the Kiss continuity, when did they... They probably got frozen in like the 90s.
Okay, sure. So we're assuming that Well, no. They would have been frozen around when the bird bikes came around, which is only a couple of years ago.
Oh.
So if this is also like another like 40 years or something, this could be like 2060, you know?
Okay.
And so they would be...
Ethan Saxon.
They would be like pushing 60, you know, when they were frozen.
I feel like they would look...
If not older.
No. Actually, no, they wouldn't look like this.
They look
60.
Like 30 to 40 here.
Each one has a six pack.
They're all shredded.
They're all completely shredded, yeah. So maybe they still are. I don't know. I don't know what Gene Simmons looks like.
I do. But
anyway.
I didn't really know like their costumes that well. I just knew like, you know, their makeup.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that like Star Child just had like a deep V with like his...
The hairiest chest.
The hairiest chest.
It's my favorite.
Like Austin Powers like chest.
He's my favorite Kiss member now. Because he's got the hairiest chest. It goes... It seemingly is only the like middle section of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's... Not hairy anywhere else, but he's like, you know what? This will be my brand.
Yeah.
I have a star on my face and a hairy ass chest.
Yeah, plenty of circulation.
Great. So, throughout the book, they all like say something, but who is it like that says the least? I feel like it's mainly Demon and Star Child, right?
Who says the least?
No, who says... I'm saying the people that have the most dialogue from Kiss are probably Demon and Star Child, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, who do you think said the least? Probably Catman?
Probably Catman, yeah.
Yeah, probably. That must suck from like their perspective, reading this comic book. I assume they've read every comic book they've ever appeared in.
Yeah. They probably consulted on the comic.
Yeah, they probably did.
Because
it would be hard to balance, I guess, this many main characters.
I mean, think about the band. Like, a lot of their choruses are like shouting, and it's like multiple people. It's like Gene Simmons and... The other guy, Paul Stanley, I think.
I don't know.
And so maybe, I think the Catman was the drummer. And so maybe he's used to being like,
oh, I
not
don't even
a big
know
voice
what
kind of thing.
So they all played an instrument, right? There's only four of them.
Yeah.
So Demon, typically the main singer, right? Did he also play an instrument?
He was the bassist.
And singer?
I don't think he was a main singer. I think Paul Stanley was. And I think he was the spaceman. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I need a chart.
I need to.
Because like
we should have created one.
They even like call each other by their like real first names.
Yeah.
Which was also a little confusing. They only do it like a little.
Yeah.
But it's not like I learned Kiss lore from reading this. I just kind of learned.
We need to read the normal Kiss comic book for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, that I'm really interested in that Origins one and seeing if it's real. Like,
yeah.
Like real Origins.
Like what? Yeah. Like how.
Or like.
Stuff, or if there's going to be a dragon.
Or if it's like the origin of like their characters, you know?
Lore?
Yeah. Like when Spaceman comes from fucking space with Star Child, like. In his arm?
Catman turned into a cat?
Yeah. He's from the jungle or something? That, I don't
know. Where all the cats are.
Demon rises from hell.
It probably would be that. Like, I assume
if there isn't a comic that is about that, then dibs, and I will write it.
Yeah. Like, Kiss is guy, like the wrestling of rock bands, you know? Because they have, like, those characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like wrestling comics are about their characters that they play.
They definitely should also have a comic where they're wrestlers.
Have they been wrestlers? Surely they have been, right?
Maybe in like maybe the like WWE Prime, they had like one of those special guest kind of things.
Yeah.
And they just like beat the shit out of like...
Yeah, and they whack someone with a foldable chair. Something. Yeah, yeah, okay. Probably. Anyway, issue two.
So interesting.
I'm just so passionate about Kiss.
I almost like fucking bought a shirt like for the episode because I'm like, this would be so cool.
That would have been so funny.
They actually do have a shirt that's like, it looks like an old Kiss comic from like the 80s or something.
They have some really cool covers for this book that look like old Kiss comics.
Yeah. So. Oh, we'll get to the, it's great background. Yeah.
Great. Such good.
Stay background. Tuned.
Imagine I come in to your house and you're just like, your face is painted.
You ready for the podcast?
Yeah, I'm going to be Demon today. I was hoping you could be Starman. Here's some white makeup.
Damn, we should just stop the podcast. Go put on some makeup.
Just a hard cut to us faces.
Okay, so anyway, they leave the...
So issue two, they leave Madison Square Garden.
You like have the fucking star on your eye with your glasses over it.
My glasses on. Because we're reading a high society comic book, Daniel.
And then like just for some reason, it's not coming off. And like you have like one of your speeches or whatever,
yeah,
or presentations tomorrow. You look like a fucking
sitting there all
cat.
Night trying to rub my face.
You look like a fucking cat up there.
Just the worst Kiss member.
I'm like doing invoicing with like the demon makeup. Like
that would be so good. Oh man. Anyway, issue two.
I want to make Sarah be like Kiss for Halloween one year. We should do that.
Oh,
so
a double couple and then costume? Sophia.
Yeah.
Oh man, who would I be? Who would you be?
I think I have to be the demon.
That's not no.
I want to be the demon. You're not so the cool. Bad.
Who has a longer tongue? We have to decipher that.
Hey,
right, one, two. Can you touch your nose? You seem like you're getting closer than I am.
Probably.
Vote on your phones now. Okay. Well, I'll be the guy
with the hairy chest.
Okay.
Because so, I have a hairier chest than you, probably.
Yeah. And then I feel like Sophia would get a kick out of that. She likes makeup stuff, right?
Yeah, she likes cosplay.
Yeah.
She'd probably be Starman.
You know, we give one of the girls the one with a deep V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
And then put hair on their chest.
Next year.
Yeah.
I'll consult.
Such a great idea. So good. Don't forget it.
I will. I look forward to next year already.
Absolutely. I'm going to pivot what I already bought, you know?
That is a funny-ass costume, by the way.
Your Black Superman one?
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. So issue two, Daniel.
Yeah, go ahead.
The whole group is getting overrun by zombies, so they escape through a secret, like, door that Kiss would use to
sneak in, like, groupies and stuff.
Yeah.
Go through here. And then Demon distracts the rest of the zombies outside by singing his hit song,
God of Thunder. I had to look that one up.
Oh, okay.
So,
good.
So that the group can go to the tour bus. Because remember, they're all the zombies
are distracted by noise. And I just think that it'd be so funny to see, like, have Demon run away and start singing one of their Kiss songs with no instruments.
Yeah, just a cappella.
Yeah, because he like does this like heroic thing, but then he's just like singing like just by himself with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
not only is like Kiss in their prime, like in this book, you know, where they look like the coolest and the strongest and they have all the abs.
Yeah.
They also kind of have like ambiguous superpowers.
Yeah.
Cause well, Demon just jumped off Madison Square Garden and flew into their tour bus.
Yeah. How's the tour bus still there? That's my question. It seems untouched.
Maybe it's a garage.
You don't think anybody would have gone into Madison Square Garden to see like what's going on?
I feel like an arena of any sort would be like kind of sketchy because
true with
because
of
how big it is, there could be a ton in there, and as soon as you reveal yourself, a lot come at you.
That's fair.
And then he flies up as well.
He just the page from like when he's about to jump to like the next page, he's like 1,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Easily. And then he like dives onto the tour bus. He was still singing while he jumped, by the way.
Of course.
And so they catch him and then they clear a path out of the city with like concert pyrotechnics, which I thought was so fun.
Excellent.
He's like, how are we going to
clear out all these tourists, they call them. And then he's like, I got some fireworks and stuff, which I think is really cool. But that splash page is a little wild.
Definitely.
And then so they find a place to camp
out for the night. Kiss plays some like acoustic songs that the other kids have just like never heard before. And then someone off page starts shooting at them and the whole group runs towards like a spooky barn house or something. And that's basically the second issue. And I know it's like supposed to be assumed that while they were playing like the acoustic music, they were probably playing it for like a while before the kids were like, oh my God, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
But in the comic book, they sang one line and then the next panel is literally like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So it just goes from, Beth, I hear you calling. And then the girl's just like, oh my God, beautiful. And I think it's really funny.
I like how the demon has like an ab window.
He does.
So you can know that he has abs
like this guy's
throughout
ripped.
The book.
Yeah.
Even with clothes on.
Don't get it twisted. No. He's ripped too.
Yeah. I wonder like, you know, when they were performing, if they like maintained a certain physique.
I would assume so, yeah.
I guess you would if like, you have these like expensive like costumes that you probably can't get too big in, you know?
Yeah, true. Also, they came out of cryogenic sleep, so it's probably like they have insane morning abs as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So maybe they are 60 and they just like have morning abs.
Yeah, pretty crazy calorie deficit there, you know?
That's a crazy cut. Also, I do like the line in here where someone from Kiss is like, you aren't the first to blame all of society's problems on rock music.
Yeah.
I thought that was
cool. Something Kiss would say.
Yeah. So issue 3.
I don't really understand who this group is, but they're getting shot at by, I think, a separate band called The Ghouls. Is that what you picked up from that?
You think it's a band?
Well, Starman or somebody was like, oh, it's The Ghouls. Or The Ghouls are hurting the zombies or something like that. So I don't know. It might not be a rock band. But
I think it's just a random group of people that have like animal masks on.
Because I did look up The Ghouls. Uh-huh. Oh, maybe he's just making fun of them. Because I looked up The Ghouls and they are a band.
That wears masks. Kind of like Slipknot, but for an old rock band.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he's just making fun of them. But this is like a
cult of people that wear like animal kingdom masks, basically.
And one of them being like a pigeon for some reason.
Yeah, one of them. Why would you pick that?
Not very scary at all.
She's like supposed to be this like hot babe. Like she's like, I'll be the pigeon.
Yeah. I'll wear a bikini top and a pigeon mask.
One of them's like a
is that a poodle?
A poodle. I think they're trying to instill fear.
And then there's like a bunny in the back.
Very weird masks. No one's a horse.
Yeah, no horse.
Those rubber horse masks.
Yeah, they got some very pristine, very specific animal masks.
Yeah. And so, I think now that I think about it, he probably was just making fun of them, but yeah. And so they are using like a radio transmission that repels zombies, and that's just technology that they have, and they're pointing the zombies towards Kiss and like the rest of the group.
Yeah, there's like some sort of frequency noise that it can make. I just imagine like one of those mosquito ringtones.
Yeah,
and it's just a frequency that really fucks with them.
Mm-hmm. And so they fight like some of this cult and they devise a plan sort of in the moment. They lead that cult into like this area where there's a bunch of gasoline, like there's like a gasoline fire trap that happened. And so they all, the
cult all like pretty much all of them catch fire. And then Layla is able to create
some technology or something that reverses the reverse frequency of the radio so that the zombies start attacking the bad guys again, and then they leave on the bus.
Why is there like a gas pump? Like,
I was gonna ask you the same
next
thing.
To this cabin,
is this supposed to be like a barn house or like a farmhouse or something, and there's just like a gasoline pump?
Does that mean like a gas truck has to come and put like gas in their tank that's underground?
Maybe it was for like their tractors or whatever.
But that's maybe very impressive to have just like a gas pump. Also, they have to pay for it.
Yeah.
They have like a couple like bucks in his pocket.
And he was able to pay cash. Maybe he had his card.
I mean, I think you just pay for like a batch and they come and put
it
in.
Oh, it was prepaid.
Yeah.
No, oh, okay, gotcha.
So you can dispense the gas however you want.
I really enjoy the fire coloring. I thought it looked
really good.
So yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
I like that the tour bus also got a kill.
Yeah, that was nice.
It's always like Star Child driving for some reason.
Surely he wasn't the one driving on the tour.
Definitely not. But
I guess he's the DD in this situation.
And so they make a stop at a mall for supplies, but to no one's surprise, there's tons of zombies in there. And so
they split up and they're trying to find some supplies and stuff. And then Hank accidentally stumbles upon Crusher ratting out like Layla
and her plan to like bring Kiss with them or whatever. And so Crusher kills Hank
while they're like, off a little bridge thing.
Yeah. And first of all, what a fucking rat.
Yeah, definitely.
He did not want like this whole Kiss thing from the beginning. But I really
love this panel where he's like laying on the ground, and there's like blood, and then the reflection of the blood is like the zombies' faces, like circling in on him.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's a sick like composition for a comic book. It's a very cool
panel.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I don't think blood even reflects like that, but it's still pretty cool.
It doesn't, but I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
there was something I noticed. So they go into this mall, and they like open the door or whatever, and they see this huge group of zombies, right? And there's just like this little kid that looks just very normal.
There's the guy in front looks pretty normal. That kid does look even more normal. But like this guy in front just has like a scratch on his cheek.
Yeah,
like
he could have just been punched.
He could very well just be like, you know, he maybe just fell.
Like I definitely recognize that zombies can be like more tattered than others. But like that kid, like he just looks surprised.
Yeah, there's a lot of people actually in this panel that look pretty normal. Like the kid like right above that kid looks normal.
Oh, yeah.
The girl to the left of that kid looks normal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a guy, you see his side profile, looks pretty normal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure it would be a pain in the ass to draw a crowd of zombies.
If I was drawing, I'd probably just put anything that's showing. Just like a little chunk missing, you know, or a couple scrapes.
And the colors, I think, did a good job of like really focusing on like the foreground and then like hazing out the background. So it's very easy for your eyes to kind of like skip over it. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's only if you're like really paying attention that you even really notice. But I noticed that too. So that was issue 3. So issue 4. Layla's grieving over Hank, and Crusher like really tries to get them to try to get Kiss to not go back with them to New Detroit, which is what they call like their community. But Kiss is like, we're going to go anyway. And then they figure out, but they want to figure out first who sent the signal over like that radio frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it originated from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So they make a comment in here and they're like, where all music goes to die. And then they go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is that like notorious? Like, is that like an agreed upon thing or whatever, that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is kind of corny or?
I'm sure it's like a cool place to visit, but I think like, you know, music is oftentimes like a very rebellious thing. And like you go into like,
once you get like recognized, I guess like that, maybe it's not as rebellious anymore.
Yeah. It's seen as like selling out or whatever.
Gotcha. But there's a scene where Layla is mad because her friend's dead and she stops the bus and goes to kill zombies while upset. And she has like a Daryl Dixon like crossbow type thing, right? But then like one of the zombies' heads just fucking like bursts into flames.
Yeah, I'm like, what fucking gun is that? Is that a flare gun?
I think they used to do a thing where they would like
have a flamethrower or something on stage, or like
sure,
or they would do like the thing where there's like a lighter and then they spit alcohol or whatever.
Yeah,
maybe something like that. I think that's what that was supposed to be, but it's not very clear because it's like Layla's about to die from this zombie and the next panel his head's on fucking fire. So I don't know what's going on.
For some reason I find it so funny that like they have like the Casual Friday Kiss like clothes on, like they all still have their makeup on, but they're wearing like t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And like, right, it's like their Kiss PJs.
Yeah. They like sleep in their makeup.
I didn't even know.
And the makeup's still like flawless, and like the
Catman's in like a wife beater,
the white like stops at like their jawline or whatever. So it's just skin color.
Do you think they've had to touch up? I'm surprised there's no blood. You'd think it'd be kind of cool to actually like have some blood like on their faces to contrast with the white. But no, you're totally right. Like they have like casual clothes.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
Like they're not always suited up. You know?
Yeah, no, that would be ridiculous, Daniel.
Yeah. Very unreasonable.
They gotta be comfy sometimes too.
Yeah.
It'd be great if we saw them like sleeping on the tour bus and they had like the actual like flannel pajamas and stuff, but they kept their makeup on.
Oh yeah.
That'd be so good. So yeah, they managed to get inside of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No, dude, they have fucking the little what do they call it? The little eye sleeper things, and it's got their makeup
the
on
blindfold.
It. Yeah.
On top of the
like,
blindfold.
Like a print, yeah.
That'd be sick.
So we don't like see their faces.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
I want one of those now.
We're coming up with merch for them.
I know. It's probably already a thing.
Yeah, I would assume so. So I managed to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they find a cult of Kiss fans with like makeup on and everything. And they take them to a pre-recorded hologram of Demon explaining that the apocalypse started in a lab where scientists were trying to make a serum that would stir people away from rebellious music, but instead accidentally made an oopsie and made zombies.
A government lab, Nathan.
A government lab, yeah. And so the zombies happen to be attracted to sound. And so Kiss put themselves
in cryogenic sleep. And that's why they were in there.
Yeah, because they don't remember because they were frozen or whatever.
And yeah, that's why they don't remember anything. But they did that so that... It's weird. Like, why would they think, like, in this situation, they'll be like, someone will break us out when they need us. But, like, how are they expecting the help getting broken out of like in the middle of a zombie apocalypse? Like, how is that better for them to be part of a zombie apocalypse than like just from the beginning? I don't know. I still don't really know what their motivations were to just put themselves in cryogenic sleep.
But I do like this a lot.
I do like this a lot. Yeah. Also, how are their cryogenic sleep chambers at Madison Square Garden? Unless they're already in there for some
reason. There's four that are like available.
Yeah. I'm like, do they fucking own this place or something? Yeah, neither do I.
So maybe they're just there by default.
But so yeah, that was funny. And so Kiss is like, all right, let's go inspire people again, I guess. And so they leave on like an escape boat while the cult that's been waiting there for 40 years, pretty much, to tell them this information, lets themselves get slaughtered by zombies so that they could escape, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
I like the old lady one. And she's like, I'm at peace. And she's like about to get eaten.
Oh, yeah. She's got like dreads and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's cool.
And then
real quick, as they're like leaving on that boat, there's, you know, they're pretty far away from our site, but mm-hmm. like their faces are just white. There's like no like details there. So it's just like a bunch of white faces.
I just thought that was pretty funny.
And then, yeah. So they go to New Detroit, and then the leader of New Detroit, that's like very strict on music and stuff, is like there waiting for them
to like kill everybody.
Yeah.
And I like how like that cult of people were like, we fulfilled our purpose. But like technically this whole scene was only like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh shit, we
did
it.
Your purpose was like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like they had no idea they were going to get there until like maybe 5 minutes before. Like they probably like saw them through the window, like, oh my God, they're coming. Everybody get ready.
It's about time.
And then after about 10 minutes, they're like, okay, now we can all die. We did it.
Yeah.
I just thought that was fun. So the last issue, there's like a weird jump further into the future with like an old lady reading this story to some kids, like this story, Kiss Zombies, the famous Dynamite comic book.
Of course.
But in the present, Kiss
and the rest of the group get captured. The leader reveals that he knows about Kiss and that he killed his son in the beginning of the issue to like maintain the
freedom in this community or whatever.
Yeah, the kid with the makeup or whatever.
And then Crusher slips up that he killed Hank. And so Layla's like, what the fuck? That was weird. And it's funny to me because the people in this community whisper the whole time because they're trying not to like alert zombies. But then like Kiss and like the rest of the group are talking normally. And you could like tell that they're like whisper yelling at them to like shut up. And I think that would play out really funny, like if this was in like a movie.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, like the lettering is like in for it's them is like gray. It's because it's like supposed to be a whisper. Like, also Crusher's like an idiot because he's like,
abominations here, you need to shut up, okay?
Like, and then Kiss is like talking normally, and then the people in the community are like, dude, cut it out. So
but yeah, zombies end up breaching the gates. The leader gets killed by like his zombie son. It's a nice like story arc for that.
Came full circle. I love it.
Yeah. And then the rest of the town gets equipment together so that Kiss can perform Detroit Rock City, one of their classics.
Yep. They had all their gear with them this whole time.
I guess so. I don't know how the gear got there, but it's like their gear. One of the guitars, Starman even says, like, oh, it's been a while since I played the guitar.
Yeah.
And it has a flamethrower on it.
Pretty sick.
Is that canon?
Probably.
And so, and then Crusher sacrifices himself after he like realizes he's been a dick or whatever, so that the band can keep playing. And I guess Kiss plays so loud that the zombies' heads just explode.
Okay.
Back and up. That's something that nobody ever figured out so in 40 years.
So they needed to like, so Crusher needed to stop the zombies that are coming on stage to get Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And he like grabs them and stage dives.
Which is sick.
As a diversion. And like Demon's like, he's going to stage dive. I'm like...
That did happen, yeah.
Then the zombies were killed with rock and roll. And their line, heads exploded.
The line is, "Dear God, he's gonna stage dive."
Dear
and
God,
then he tackles two
that's
people.
Jason Bourne. And I think that's
so like
the most rock and roll way to sacrifice yourself.
That is pretty rock and roll.
And then he's like getting eaten by zombies, and he's just like. He has the heavy metal devil horns up.
Oh, yeah, he does. This is so good. This comic book's so much better than I thought it was.
Like, the creativity is unparalleled.
You can tell that Ethan Sachs had fun, like, making this comic book, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he had a fucking with the artist. Ball, I bet.
And I don't understand why the Kiss branded music equipment is there, but one of them has a flamethrower. Pretty cool.
It's all in their bus.
How did the bus get there?
Ooh, that's fair.
Because they had a boat. They like drove the boat there. So then like...
Maybe the boat got them around the zombies and then went to the bus. I'm not really thinking about it that hard. I'm about not the sure. logistics of yeah. their equipment.
Kiss is just so impressive that way, you know? So, mm-hmm. So anyway, that's all over. Kiss leaves to go help other survivors like around the world, I guess. And then in the future, it's actually Mayor Layla telling the story to the kids. And like civilization is healing now. There's not a whole lot of zombies that they've seen anymore. And I think Kiss has just gone around playing loud enough music to kill all the zombies.
Yeah.
And
their bus is like all like
it's like
souped
a,
up and like Mad Maxed out or yeah, whatever.
It's a sick fucking war bus.
You ever see that movie Death Race?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that.
No, that's good.
With Jason Statham, I think.
Yeah. I enjoy this book a lot.
Absolutely.
It's so good.
I was worried that you're going to be like, this is hot dog shit.
It kind of is. It knows that it is, I guess.
It's campy, but it knows that it's campy and tries to really hone in on that.
Like, I think Ethan
Sachs... Like, the self-awareness is what helps.
Exactly,
it,
yeah. You know? I think Ethan Sachs knows, like, these things would be fun in a zombie comic book that kisses in, and he finds a way to like make that happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally cool with that.
Builds that's a whole exactly, plot around it.
Because if this was like serious, it would still be kind of funny if it was serious, I guess. But
if it's just like darker and it's like very, very serious plot twists and heartbreaking deaths.
Yeah,
and stuff
but it's
like
just
that.
Like a, it's just fun. Like,
because then
just,
like if it was like that, then. It could be like a really good zombie story that Kiss just happens to be in. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
But this is like a Kiss zombie story.
It's a
yeah.
Kiss-centric story
mm-hmm.
where they...
They're in an apocalypse.
Yeah, and they were cryogenically frozen.
Yeah.
So let's get into Back Matter Matters, Daniel.
Back Matter Matters. I also appreciate the really quick like wrap-up. You know,
yeah, they're like, okay, we did it, and it's in the future now, and we're all good.
Oh, sorry, a couple of things that I didn't mention because they say like there's too many of them like four times in this.
Yeah,
book.
I know, like there's always too many of them.
Yeah,
you know? That's not new information.
They're never like this is a perfect amount for us. This is totally feasible.
Or they didn't like go into the mall and they're like, oh, there's only like a couple in here. That's pretty nice.
There's something that I laughed at, but like at the beginning where it's like Lila or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's old. She's reading a story to these young kids. She opens up this book and it's like a blank book.
Yeah, there's no detail. I would have enjoyed it if like
it could have just been like little scribbles and like, oh yeah, that's words.
What if the page was on the book that she's reading is the page that we were currently reading? And so she's just reading the Kiss comic book.
She's reading a comic about herself.
Yeah.
That,
or maybe that's on purpose. And she's just recalling from like her own mind because she's just that smart or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think Kiss was like, we need to have these songs in there? Probably not, right?
I think Ethan Sachs has probably just picked like the very well-known ones, you know, mm-hmm. and then just kind of went from there.
Probably. If there's another band, Daniel, that could have their own zombie comic book, who do you think it would be? Knowing that Kiss is the pinnacle and no one can ever top them.
I feel like, Gwar.
Gwar?
Yeah. Have you seen Gwar before?
I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe it's just a middle thing. Give me 1 second. So that's Gwar.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they have pretty intricate costumes with weapons of like instruments, you know? And I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It looks like they look like Borderlands characters.
Yeah. So
that's insane.
I was thinking like maybe Slipknot, but I'm like, no, Gwar, because they have like their guitars are like axes and shit.
Here's
and
what I think. I have two options.
Okay.
One's clearly better, but the one that's I don't think as strong, but would be still kind of fun. Jackson 5. Second okay. one, Pinnacle Comic Books, The Wiggles.
Ooh.
Imagine The Wiggles in a zombie apocalypse.
Maybe like Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, that'd be really cool, actually.
Just like, they just mop up these zombies like super easily.
Yeah, there's like a couple of the Wu-Tang Clan members have like comic books?
Yeah.
That's perfect like then.
Method Man, I think.
I want to see Eminem in more comic books.
He has a crossover with The Punisher.
Yeah, I know.
Which
is great.
We got to do a crossover episode.
Yeah.
Like rapper crossover episodes. we'll do the Starboy comic with The Weeknd.
Oh, you're right. There is actually a lot.
Oh, there's also a fucking...
Was the Snoop in one?
Maybe. There was one that was called... you know Ray Schremer? The... I ain't got no type.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so them. It's got like Sway Lee in mm-hmm. it. And then like his brother or whatever. So they had a Dark Horse... They had a comic where it's like Ray Schremer in the darkness.
Wow. What the hell?
Yeah. I'm like, this is such a deep ass cut.
That's so cool.
Did they know about this?
I surely not.
I was like, what? How do the rights for comic books work with celebrities? Do they sign off on that?
Surely they do.
Do they like.
Otherwise, there'd be a ton of.
Do they collaborate or something?
Otherwise, there'd be like a ton of Post Malone comic books.
True.
So I'm sure they do. But let's get into Back Matter Matters, Daniel.
Alrighty.
It's just a cover gallery, and there's some actually incredible covers here.
Big fan.
It's all from artists that I'm not super familiar with, but they are quite incredible. So there's the one in the start of this trade, pretty good. I like the photo covers, like those ones are. It's just interesting seeing them like for realsies.
after
seeing like the artists interpret them.
Yeah.
And then probably the best cover I've ever seen is the Kraven's Last Hunt homage, where it's Demon coming out of the ground.
That is pretty sick.
I'm like, that's so good. That's such a great time to put that, because Kraven's not even a zombie in that cover, right? But it makes sense that a zombie would be coming out.
Yeah. So I feel like we've probably seen that before in like another zombie book.
Yeah, probably.
But I can't remember.
There's like some real like Sienkiewicz looking stuff.
Yeah.
As well.
I like these like, very retro covers. Those are my favorites.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Just like the really old school like cover dressing. It looks like it's from like Tales of the Crypt or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like those ones are really cool. I'd like to have one of those because I think it'd be fun. But yeah, the photo covers, just highlighting all the people, is pretty cool.
Oh, see, there's the Catman singing at the piano.
Yeah. So
he definitely could have had more dialogue.
Yeah, I agree. Is that a bedazzled piano? Grand piano? That's sick.
You bet your ass it is. Nothing but the shiniest for Kiss.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. They had some really cool ones. Some ones where the Kiss members are zombies. And that's pretty much it. But good covers.
Definitely.
So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
So I did have a really good time with it. But I do have to like kind of analyze it for as like a comic, you know, and mm-hmm. and then also be respectful to other books that we've reviewed and things. So I give it a love it, Nathan. Yeah. Big fan. I was worried it was just going to be a like it, you know, but no, there were a lot of things in this that were very, very interesting, creative. And I'm very happy with it.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with it as well. Hit the spot for
it,
sure.
Definitely did.
Like a light or a love it would. And it's a vanilla ice cream with dark chocolate.
Yep.
So that it looks like the black and white. And then like a one red gummy worm for like their tongues. But very good. I never expected it to be like this fun, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like a fun concept, and that's exactly like what it is, and this is exactly what I was expecting, so it was very nice.
It's really funny how shitty. Like the cover and like the title really sets the tone for what it is, you know?
Yeah, it really there's no way anyone was surprised reading this book, this comic book.
Yeah, no, they're like, that's exactly what I paid for.
Yeah, exactly. So I enjoyed it a lot. But yeah, it's not like it's groundbreaking. I feel like when I go with like the highest rating, I'm like, this is what comic books should be. And like,
yeah,
this book is that, I think. But I feel like a lot of the ones I rate higher, like I would give this book to somebody to show them like comic books are fucking legit. You know?
I wish I knew a KISS fan. You know,
yeah, they would lose your mind.
Like, here you go.
I wonder if like
you are welcome.
I wonder if Mike's ever seen this book or if he's like a KISS fan at all. Probably not.
It came out last year. He hasn't picked up books in like 10 years.
I wonder if he's a KISS fan. We should ask him when we see him tomorrow.
He's probably like, ah, they're overrated.
Ah, yeah, probably.
He listens to bands that sing in dead languages. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if KISS is his cup of tea. You know?
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Absolutely. Bigger week than I thought it would be for me.
Dude, yeah, this happens every year, or every week.
Every week, I'm like, oh, I'll probably get like one or two things. I need to have like a purge where I'm only like, I need to cut back all my series to like 10 ongoing series.
Yeah, because then it's like two or three a week.
Yeah, and then maybe like pick up a one shot every once in a while. But like I picked up World's Finest.
Same.
I'm pretty behind on that one because I'm not even sure if I have all the issues. I always manage to miss a release of World's Finest somehow, but I saw it and I picked it up because I know I'll get to it. Aquaman Andromeda number 3, that's the last one of the Christian Ward Ram V.
Same.
Silver Coin I picked up.
Okay.
Shirtless Bear Fighter number 3.
Yeah. Who's writing Silver Coin this issue? Do you know?
No, I don't think I do.
What was it, number 16?
16. Their third trade is about to come out or just came out, but that's a really good point. I just saw Silver Coin and I pick up. No, Silver Coin 15 was today.
Was it?
Okay. And so it was the one written and drawn by Michael Walsh.
Oh, right.
Because he does the last one. Yeah. Okay. So excited about that one. This one has like the fireman that's like been sort of appearing in the series. So remember at the end of the first one, there's like a bunch of firemen there and there's someone that picks it up. This is about this guy. So,
ooh, interesting.
So I'm excited about that one. Shirtless Bear Fighter 3. I picked up 10,000 Black Feathers number 2.
Oh, same.
And Public Domain 5.
Same, same. I got Batman the Knight number 10.
Oh, fuck. have you read any of it?
No. As I was putting it away, I saw number 1 in there. I'm like, ooh. So I collected the whole thing without reading it.
It's going to be a great binge, though.
Yeah. And then the only thing I got that you didn't was Predator number 3.
Okay.
Did you read anything this week, Nathan?
I did.
Let's hear it.
I read Gotham City Year One, number 1.
Me too.
It's so good.
It's, how are there still more ideas for
Year
Batman
Ones?
Batman or Gotham?
There's a ton of Year Ones I found out this week. There's like a Robin Year One, a Nightwing Year One, like a ton. A Batgirl Year One, yeah.
Hmm.
I saw this thread of like some dudes just listing his favorite Batman / Bat Family comics.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a lot of the year ones on there, but
gotcha.
Tom King and Phil Hester on a noir book together.
Love it.
Couldn't be a better duo.
Based in like the 60s.
The main character is named Slam Bradley.
Samuel, but
yeah, but people call him Slam.
Pretty great.
That's so sick. And Phil Hester has such a good style.
Mm-hmm.
And I
fits perfectly.
I get so much energy like reading or seeing his stuff, because like I'll just like be reading comics and I'm like, I fucking love this, and I can't even really put my finger on as to why. And so I like really try and analyze and stuff and be like, man, his like fucking his clothes folds so good, or like his expressions are like, you know, a bit minimalist, but they have the exact like expression that they need to for like that panel, and it's just he's really good.
Yeah, I was reading that and I was so distracted by like the artwork that I wasn't getting to like how much like words there were, because there's a lot of those like connecting bubbles.
Yeah, yeah. And also, Jordi Belair, perfect on this book as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if I were to
Drew Glare is so good.
It's like if I were to cast a noir book.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this would be.
Yeah, it really fits the style really well. But I'm like, multiple times I'm like, that's a good fucking panel.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when Constance Wayne was just like in the dark and she's like smoking something and it's mostly shadow on her face. I'm like, that's a good fucking panel.
I love when Phil Hester does like those reverse silhouettes where like the silhouettes are like white space.
Yeah.
Oh, so good, dude.
You would like Sin City.
I probably would. Well, I mean, I like the way Phil Hester does it, but I'd probably like Sin City too.
Do you think that could be in our month of comic adaptations that people don't know are comics?
Probably, yeah.
Because
that's actually a really good one, yeah. 300 could be one.
Oh, yeah.
God, it might have to be 2 months.
It's just all Frank Miller shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
We do like The Spirit or something.
We do V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of them on there.
We could do like a year of this shit. Anyway. I can't commit to like a year of a theme. You know?
True.
Month is perfect.
Yeah.
But it just means we have to do it a couple of years.
We'll have to do it, yeah. It'll be a recurring month where we just have a stride of those.
Yeah, we just got to pick the right one, you know?
Yeah. I also read Kaya number one, which I picked up a couple weeks ago. Do you know who Wes Craig is?
Wes Craig. Is that a horror guy?
He's an artist that... You remember that like bookmark that he did where it was just like all Image characters?
I think so.
And it was like really cool. I don't know. That's like where I know him from, but I just like...
That does sound familiar.
I was hanging on to the name because I was like, this guy's really good. You would recognize him. Mm. But he was a part of Kaya number one, and it's just like a new Image book that's just like kind of like set just like in a fantasy world. And there's like this girl who has like this magical arm, and she's trying to guide somebody of royalty through this like world that's like a fantasy world. And I think it's really good. So I'm gonna keep picking it up.
Yeah, I like the art style. It looks really cool. Yeah,
that's what attracted me to it. I didn't even know that this book was coming out. It wasn't on my radar at all. But I saw the art, caught my eye, saw Craig on there, and I'm like, oh, I want to see more from this guy. So I picked it up.
Hmm.
And I thought it was great.
He did the Gravediggers Union.
Okay.
I guess he did... Is he from Deadly Class?
I think that's what it is, yeah. Deadly Class.
Okay. It looks like he's mostly on like the newer issues, so maybe he's like a fill-in artist.
Yeah.
Because
I think that ended this week.
Deadly Class?
Yeah, it ended on like 56, and like that was the last one.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. That's always nice. You just see a thing, you're like, that looks interesting. You pick it up.
Yeah.
And you read it and you like it.
And I don't even like necessarily know the people, even though I did have like that recognition. I think I still probably would have picked it up if
He writes it too?
He just does the art, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty cool. That's all the comics I read this week, though.
Gotcha. Did you watch anything?
I started Dahmer.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty spooky.
Yeah.
But I like how they're telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like that they started with him getting arrested.
Yeah.
Because that makes me feel nice.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me feel like, okay, they got him. They got the bad guy. And now the stuff, like, going forward, even though it's still incredibly creepy and scary, makes me feel a little bit better. Yeah, I was watching it with Sophia, and she just thinks that everything's like super creepy and scary, but she was able to watch this one.
Yeah.
So, but she was like really wanting to watch it. So I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And it's pretty popular.
Evan Peters.
Yeah.
Very good actor.
Oh, yeah.
He
nailed this.
Like, whenever, like in that first episode, especially where he's like trying to get that guy and he had him in the handcuffs or whatever, he just feels like a, like, completely different person than like everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's so impressive to me. But
yeah, definitely. Especially creepy. When he's like normally a pretty lovable character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's a great actor.
Oh, so. Yeah, definitely. Cause I always feel like some actors will always play like the same person or always like some likable character.
Yeah.
And never get to do something like this where they're just like clearly the bad guy, like a bad person,
yeah,
not supposed to be likable, you know, and that really gives him a lot of opportunity to do that, which is cool.
Yeah, Evan Peters I feel like does some pretty good like character work, even though he has like some popular roles like Quicksilver or whatever. There was a show that he was in called Pose that Sophia was watching.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in that, and the show's about like drag. It's like a drag show.
Okay.
And Evan Peters was like a straight white man that started falling in love with like a trans woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting seeing like this guy, Evan Peters' character, be like very conflicted about his love and just like interest for this person.
Sure.
So he's like, I like the roles that he takes.
He was in this like super low budget heist movie called American Animals. It came out like 3 years ago. I think that's the last thing I really saw him in. Mm-hmm. He just plays like this college student, and they like rob like the school's library because there's this room that has something really expensive in it. Mm. And so that was a really good movie. And he's just like, he's kind of like the dumbass, I guess.
Gotcha.
But I can't remember really, but
it's just funny thinking.
So he's in like a lot of good stuff.
It's funny thinking that he's like in Kick-Ass.
Yeah. I think most people know him from like American Horror Story.
Oh, I've never seen that. So I don't know he's in that.
That's like an anthology to where like each season's different, but it's all the same actors playing different people each season.
Yeah.
So he's like a main one.
Mm. Nice.
But did you watch the new episode of Chainsaw Man?
No, not yet.
No. This one is actually better than the first one. So that was cool. It's all like coming back to me as like I'm watching. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you're like that far ahead. You're like, oh. This beginning stuff.
I'm like, ah, they know nothing.
How far do you think the first season will go?
12 episodes.
Well, like, as far as the...
probably.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
So, like, it'll go 12 chapters into the manga?
Yeah, when I heard that, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, they're just going to stop at 12? You know what I mean? Because, mm-hmm. like, I feel like I got through the first bit, like, so fast. And, like, most of the meat was, like, towards the end.
Gonna feel like nothing is what you're saying,
maybe to me,
yeah,
because of how far I am, but like to someone who is completely new to it, it might be like enough or like fulfilling, you know,
yeah,
and feel like a good season of television.
Okay.
I also watched the new Hellraiser movie.
Oh cool.
Yeah, is it good? I liked it a lot. It's definitely not like I'm like, wow, you gotta watch this, but I have heard from people who are like horror fans who have watched like other Hellraiser movies that this is like the best executed version of Hellraiser.
Okay.
Cause I guess like maybe just limitations from budget and things like that, but it was just kind of amazing to like look at, you know what I mean?
Visually.
Yeah. Cool. And I knew like basically nothing about Hellraiser. So
does that help you think?
I think so too. I think this is a great way to like knowing nothing and just watching this by itself, mm-hmm. knowing that you recognize Pinhead is like cool.
Nice.
And just like, I got on board with the concept pretty early and it wasn't, I think there's like one jump scare and
nice.
It didn't even like get me, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, there's one, you know? And, but it was mostly just like the creepy concept and
there's a famous like director on it, right? Wasn't like
Clive
John
Barker,
Carpenter? Clive Barker. That's what it is. Yeah.
He's like I think he created Hellraiser.
Oh, okay.
And he's also done like other horror stuff. But
gotcha.
I think that's like his thing.
Sweet. So, yeah, well, that's good that he had a good one.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Hulu's becoming the place where there's pretty established properties that haven't had a good thing in a while. And so they'll just do it on Hulu and make a good.
Yeah.
Like Prey.
Like Prey. So two examples.
And yeah, two examples.
That's what Hulu does now.
That's who they are now.
That's everything Hulu is.
That's who they are in my eyes now.
Did you watch anything else?
No, I played a couple new games.
Let's hear it.
Me and my group of friends are always finding new stupid things to play. This one's actually more than just like a stupid thing that was like free, but it was on Game Pass. It's called Chivalry 2.
Okay.
And it's basically a game where it's like...
open doors for women.
It's a multiplayer online battle arena, but set in like where there's like knights and stuff. And it's like a 20v20 basically.
Medieval times.
Yeah, medieval times. And it's like a 20v20 or something like that. So there's like a lot of people like in one like game. Mm-hmm. And it's just all fighting and stuff. Like there's an attacking team and a defending team. And the defending team has to try and stop like a push from like all these people from going into like five different phases basically. But it's like a first person thing where you're a knight and there's different classes for swords and like axes and stuff. And it's very like one-on-one combat, but it's interesting. Like if you work together as like even like a small group, you can take a lot of like space from either attackers or defenders, but it involves a lot of coordination. It's a lot of chaos if you're not like coordinated at all.
Okay.
Cause you could just be like a knight, and it's really funny. Cause when you spawn, you just immediately start like battle crying and like running towards like all the action, uh-huh. but it's like a big, like Lord of the Rings fight.
Oh, kind okay.
of Like, that's what it feels like. You just, like, look to your left and there's someone on fire. You look to your right, someone just got their arm chopped off. Or, like, you're just trying to, like, make it through or maybe, like, even sneak by. And then you look behind you, there's, like, four people running at you.
That reminds you of, like, the fight from, like, Anchorman.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. And, like, no one touches the face.
Yeah.
That's what it, like, feels like. But it was, like, pretty fun. It's a good time to just, like, I don't know, scratch that, like, turn off your brain and just, like, fight a bunch of things.
Those are always good.
Yeah.
A necessity.
We had fun with that. And at one point, you can use, like, cannons and stuff that you'd need, like, multiple people to load in. And so just shooting a cannon and watching people, like, fly off when they get hit is pretty fun. And then I also played a single-player campaign game, which is pretty few and far between for me nowadays, but it's called Deathloop.
Okay.
It's, like, a first-person shooter game where it's, like, you're in, like, a time paradox where you're trying to figure out how you got into the situation that you're in. And every time you die, you go back to the, like, beginning, but there's more, like, pathways that have opened and stuff, so you're not doing the same thing over and over. But what's cool is that you even, like, interact with yourself and save yourself from dying a couple times.
Okay.
Like, the first go around, you're, like, trying to figure out what's going on, and then you, like, get thrown out a window, but then, like, you from, like, a different time catches yourself. Uh-huh. And puts you in a different place. And then later on in the game, you're the person that catches the previous you dying. So it's like this weird, like, time paradox thing, but you learn more and more each time.
Do you spawn at the beginning every
time? You spawn, like, yeah. It's like the beginning of Shutter Island.
So it's like Happy Death Day, but kind a
of,
game?
Kind of, yeah. But it's really interesting how you, like, learn more. There's, like, a really...
So what's the end goal?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
But the progression is very satisfying. Hmm. And seeing things that I've already done, like, myself in the game is pretty wild to me. So it's interesting.
You just keep doing it and we'll, like, if you do it like 10 times, will there just be like 10 spawns, like, saving yourself over and over?
No, because the things that you save yourself in that you haven't done yet is pretty scripted. And then you just will find yourself in that situation saving a previous you, but technically the current you, because it's all in, like, a time thing or whatever.
Okay.
So only, like, that's like all the... script. It's like a very scripted game. It's not like I'll see myself, like, get confused in a certain room and, like, start jumping around and stuff. But it's okay. Like they're, like, scripted parts of the game, so it's, gotcha. It's pretty cool.
So it's not too chaotic. You can't be, like, too dumb with it. Mm-hmm. So even, like, a dumb person can, like, coordinate this.
Yeah. It's pretty easy, but I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm gonna keep going with that. See if it ends well.
Nice.
Because most games like that probably don't end too well, so I'm curious. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Good.
That's everything I've been doing this week, though.
Did you watch She-Hulk, Nathan?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah, the finale.
Yeah, she's the my favorite part was an homage to the OG, like, Hulk television series.
Yeah,
where it's her and, like,
that was,
like,
played by a man, actually. I don't know if you saw older that.
Her,
the one in, or, like, the beginning. Her. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Which I figured. Yeah, I didn't know that. I was like, okay.
Or maybe just a big woman. I don't know.
Big woman. Could have been. But yeah, I liked that start. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was like, I guess, like, shot for shot, like, the same as, like, the intro for the other show.
Like the Lou Ferrigno one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That's cool. That makes sense. There's a lot of videos where it's, like, side by side.
Oh, cool.
Which is fun.
Love that then.
So she's in jail for the shit she did. Mm-hmm. She's got in order to get out, she's got to wear a power dampener.
Inhibitor,
whatever. Mm-hmm. And she gets fired because she can't be She-Hulk anymore.
Her life's falling apart.
Kind of ass. And then she goes to the sanctuary thing or whatever.
Yep. Where, what's his face is that? Todd? Abomination.
Oh, Emil Blonsky.
Emil Blonsky, yeah.
Or Blansky? Good job.
Blonsky. B-L-O.
Okay. And.
And Reddit's there.
All of Reddit is there.
All of Reddit is there.
And Todd is the Hulk King.
Which is pretty funny. That whole scene was really funny because I like that the She-Hulk writers clearly had the foresight to be like, we're going to make this show that will probably make Reddit mad. Mm-hmm. And so let's have that incorporated as part of the show. And yeah, I think that's so good. And make them
the bad guys.
We'll make them, like, clearly the idiots that are like, well, She-Hulk, like, why even say she in the beginning or whatever? Like, all the stupid points that, like, I've ultimately been seeing, but I know that they have done this on purpose because they know what they're doing with She-Hulk twerking, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's like, this is clearly, they know that it's going to make people mad. I think it's fun that She-Hulk's twerking or whatever
with,
like, Megan Thee Stallion, but clearly they know that it's going to make a certain section of the internet that's very loud, very mad. And yeah. So to see them basically in the finale, I think was really funny.
Yeah. So they were in like a big tent that was at the little sanctuary thing where Emil Blonsky was Abomination and he was speaking.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew what he was speaking for. He was doing some sort of like motivational speaking.
Yeah. I don't think that he knew that it necessarily would have been harmful to She-Hulk.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like, but regardless, he is doing
he's breaking
speaking things as Abomination.
Right.
For like the message or whatever, even though he's not supposed to.
Yeah. And then.
And then she just like.
She gets mad at the writing and how this thing's ending.
She like goes into Disney Plus.
That was awesome.
That was great. Like seeing like all the shows, like Ms. Marvel's there. And then they go into like the behind the scenes Marvel one.
And then like. It reminds me of like the She-Hulk comics where she's like jumping off the pages and stuff and like going in different panels.
Yeah, she'd go talk to like John Byrne, who's like the artist.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that. So it was exactly that.
Because she goes to like a writer's room.
Yeah.
She's like, what the hell?
She's like, what is this?
And then we see Kevin.
I loved Kevin.
Kevin was excellent. It was such a funny way to put Kevin Feige like into this yeah. without, I don't even know if it was voiced by Kevin Feige, honestly.
I don't know. I wonder if like.
Surely it had to be.
I assume the initial idea was to have her talk to Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just like not good at acting. So they're like, what if we make it like an algorithm?
Yeah, what do you think about this?
They were all algorithms. Also, did you notice that Kevin still had the hat on?
Yeah, I did notice like the design looked like a hat.
So. I loved that. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. Nathan, do you think Kevin was created by Kang?
What are you talking about?
Do you think Kevin was created by Kang?
I think you're being stupid.
Nathan, think about this. So let's rewind here back to the Loki show where he sees his life flash before his eyes. It's in a like a view of like how we watch it, like in movies, like it's on the screen and it's like a reel. It like goes through his life. And behind Kevin, there's like all these reels of everything in the Marvel universe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? And Kevin has like this algorithm and everything has to go a certain way. Kind of like how Kang has also set up the universe, where it's just one timeline that's just a big loop that goes around over and over again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so Kevin was created just to maintain that and make sure the Marvel universe goes a certain way forever. You know what I mean?
And that's so why Kang is breaking that.
No, he's maintaining it with Kevin.
So he used Kevin to create the Marvel universe up to
and then that keep point. It as it is, yeah.
I feel like it would be more of Kevin created Kang to do what Kevin needs Kang to do with all the Marvel movies. And then the formula is being broken.
But Kang is definitely stronger than Kevin, you know?
I think we'll see Kevin again.
I think so, too. It'll be an Ant-Man, probably. It'll be in the Kang Dynasty or whatever.
Actually, I don't know if that's true. Because it would be maybe like a little bit too meta.
It'd be fucking funny, though.
But it would be pretty funny. But I feel like, if anything, if like Kevin and Kang are somehow connected, it'd probably be Kevin making Kang so that Kang can make the Marvel movies, essentially.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's like, who came first, the chicken or the egg?
Pretty much, yeah. I like that they had all the old like comic books like on the stands there.
Yeah, they had like new comic books.
Yeah, they had new stuff, too, which is cool. But they had like some of the old like Daredevil stuff, like Frank Miller.
Yeah, I saw... The Hulk run that we read. I saw like the Ms. Marvel run
the
that She-Hulk we read.
Run or the
She-Hulk, yeah.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
did I say?
Just Hulk.
The She-Hulk run that we read.
Yeah.
Have we not read a Hulk book?
We haven't read a Hulk book.
Yeah.
We haven't read most singular Avengers books. We've only read like Captain America and Hawkeye and Black Widow.
We're pretty
pretty bad at this.
We're pretty forward, Nathan. We're progressive. We do She-Hulk before Hulk.
Yeah, we do. We do the barrier character of the two before. Yeah.
Feminism at its finest.
Exactly. That's what we are.
And then she mentions the X-Men, which I thought was funny. Yeah, she's like, where are the X-Men?
And she's like,
yeah.
That was good. They know what we want.
And then the plot just wraps up and Todd gets arrested and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then there's like a nice family dinner where Hulk shows up. I didn't expect Hulk to show up and come back in this.
With Hulk King? No, sorry, not Hulk King.
With Scar. And
Scar, that's
his
what it
son.
Is.
Little Hulk.
And he had his Supercuts haircut.
Yep. He just went to a barber right before that.
I like the way he looks. The hair's funky. I don't think I am pissed off by it as much as like a bunch of different people. But just go with long hair, right?
Yeah.
I like the way he looks, though.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. And he's got like tattoos or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or like war paint. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got a sweet tank or whatever he's wearing. And
I wonder what his mom looks like, you know?
I'm not expecting...
How old is this guy? And like, does that line up with everything we know about, you know?
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe Sakaar has like, there's like an interstellar thing that's going on where like gravity is different, so time's different.
Okay. Maybe.
Something like that. But I did not expect to see Hulk again, so I thought that was kind of nice. Yeah,
that was kind of the most shocking thing. And then he just moves, and it's good there.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they'd explore that in this. I thought it'd be in, like, the next Hulk thing, you know?
Yeah, I think so as well. Apparently, She-Hulk's going to be in the Daredevil show, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
I like that a lot. And Daredevil was great in this show. I like how he just kind of jumps in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
After like she does the whole kind of thing.
She's like, oh, she like asks for him to be there.
Yeah.
When he clearly left that day.
Yeah.
He
clearly did. And then he just comes in again.
Nathan, do you think we can have a dad Avengers?
What are you talking about?
Cause Thor is the dad now.
Uh-huh.
Hulk is the dad now.
Yeah.
He's just got to get a couple.
Tony Stark's a dad, but he's dead.
Tony Stark is a dad. Could be cool. Or the Young Avengers. I prefer Dad Avengers.
I prefer Dad Avengers too.
So like dads with in
Thor, their... Dad Bod. Everybody has to have a Dad Bod though. That's the even Hulk. Right.
Yeah, he gets fat somehow.
Yeah.
But anyway, lots of fun.
That'd be show. Fun. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I think that I had ranked this one top two for me.
So Jack was here and he's like behind on like the world.
Sure.
And I only watched like half of She-Hulk, and then like. We didn't know what to watch, so I'm like, I'm just going to put on what I want to watch. And so I watched the rest of that episode with him next to me, and
does his mind just explode? That's funny.
I'm like, all that made sense, just so you know, if you watch the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think is it necessary to be caught up? I mean, if you just like watch the show from the beginning, you're fine, right?
Yeah, you'll be right.
Surely. I mean, there's probably a couple things that might go over your head, but for the most part, like...
Especially with all of your references and stuff like that, but I don't think you need to watch anything.
Like, I don't think you'd necessarily need to like watch the Doctor Strange movies because like you get the idea of Wong.
Yeah.
Right. And like
this is a magic guy.
And like, I'm sure there's probably a lot of people don't really realize that Abomination was the guy from the original Hulk movie with Ed Norton. So yeah. Like, I feel like a lot of it, even though you'd probably appreciate knowing everything, it's not necessary to watch everything.
Yeah, I think Marvel's really appealing to like those super fans or like the Easter egg people, you know,
especially with the shows.
Yeah,
because it's a longer commitment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, pretty good. Where'd you rate this amongst the other shows?
So I like the fact that it had like the sitcom vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, not every episode is necessary, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So that kind of hurts it, but I like that they're there, you know.
I think it helped it, in my opinion.
I think I'd put it at like 4.
Really?
Yeah.
It's top 2 for me.
Top 2, yeah.
Just above Hawkeye, I think.
I don't disagree.
Mm-hmm. Because like, I still don't know. This one definitely ended my favorite amongst all the shows. But
yeah, it definitely had one of the better endings.
Because all of the endings of the shows up until She-Hulk have been so rocky for me, like mm-hmm. not necessarily sticking the landing.
Yeah.
But Carter's been watching WandaVision and I've been like rewatching with him. That show's so fucking good.
It is very
even
good.
Even on rewatch, I'm like, this is amazing. So I think that's still maybe number one, but probably tied with She-Hulk, but for different reasons. As far as level of enjoyment I got out of it.
Aaliyah told me that she started watching WandaVision. She's like, I'm so confused. What's happening? I'm like, just stick it out.
You're supposed to be. Yeah.
She's like, I skipped to episode 3. I'm like, don't do that.
That's a bad idea.
I'm like, go back.
She has no idea who the beekeeper is.
She's like, this is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
But anyway, did you watch Andor, Nathan?
I'm catching up on Andor, but I have not caught up.
Fuck. Okay. So Jack was here when I was watching all these things. And so I watched the latest episode of Andor, and I was correct. It was the heist episode that it's been building up to.
Cool.
Definitely the best episode so far.
I heard it was dialogue heavy.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not even.
Maybe not.
It was awesome. And
cool.
Even Jack's like, this is awesome. I'm like, this is the best episode. The rest of them have been very dialogue heavy. And you definitely just watched like a really good episode. So even like without all the context around it,
someone
was able to enjoy it.
That's cool. You know?
And so good stuff. We'll get to it, I guess.
Is Jack here right now?
No. He was here for like a day.
Oh, okay.
He's probably in Tennessee right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So not a spoiler, but there's a scene where like they're in that like big meeting room arena thing. Remember in like the prequels, they had those like floating little donut things
where E.T. sit in?
Yeah, where E.T. is.
Okay.
They go back to that room.
I'm like, is it fucked up or no? No, it would be before all that. No, it would be after all that.
After all that. No, it's
so
fine.
It's all fucked up? No, someone fixed it?
It's fine. What do you mean fix it?
Because after the Yoda and what's-his-face fight, is it Dooku?
Oh, yeah.
They fucked it up. So someone cleaned it up?
Yeah, they cleaned it up, Nathan.
Holy shit. I wonder whose job that was. Definitely not Yoda's. He was out of there.
To fix all these floating things.
Yeah, like, there was a huge fight, and they're like, oh, man.
I totally forgot about that.
The budget skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Yoda that fixed it. That's for damn sure. He fucking left.
And then they had these like guns that they're using, and they look just like AK-47s. So they had these space AKs.
Yo, we got this new tech.
Jack like was like, are these AKs? I'm like, do they have AKs in Star Wars? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't think that's canon.
They have the fucking magazine that's like curved.
Holy shit.
And no like scope or anything. They just look like AKs. It was very jarring.
That's awesome.
It was really fucking funny.
Wow, I can't wait to watch it now.
And like, it's the only guns that they have. And so everyone, it's really weird.
Yeah. But that's hilarious.
Is that the show, Nathan?
I think so.
Alrighty. What are we gonna read next week?
What are we gonna read next week, Daniel? Oh,
good question. Are we free?
I think we're free. We get of horror comics.
We get choice.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So, do you want to do My Friend Dahmer?
I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. So we're doing My Friend Dahmer by somebody. Durf Backdurf.
I love Durf. I love Durf Backdurf.
How is that a real name?
Sounds like a character in like a Scotty Young comic.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
So yeah, we'll do that. Capitalize on some serial killer hype.
Yeah, definitely.
But I heard this one genuinely is...
I think it might have been nominated or won something. I remember it being in like the lists of
it even says
Eisner stuff.
The best-selling graphic novel, now a major motion picture.
Oh, okay.
Wait, My Friend Dahmer, I think, is its own movie.
Probably.
But there is the Comixology Unlimited free one, which is what we're doing by Durf Backdurf, which is interesting. Anyway, that's the show.
Yeah, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Send us an email at traitreaderspod@gmail.com. Tell us what to read. Linktree and all the bios.
Let us know other rock band comics to read.
Yes. Other Kiss comics we should read. Other
Kiss comics. Tell us the pinnacle Kiss comics.
What is your favorite Kiss comic?
Yeah.
Follow, like, subscribe, stuff like that.
We got a Linktree. Check that out.
Yeah.
And that's the show.
It sure is. Goodbye.
Bye.